to the start of our new series entitled Reach 23. And the way I want to start this series is by telling you all a story. So get comfortable. I'm going to read you this story. On a dangerous sea coast where shipwrecks often occurred, there was once a crude little lifeboat station. The building was just a hut and there was only one boat. But the few devoted members kept a constant watch over the sea and, with no thought for themselves, went out day and night tirelessly looking for lost people. Now, some of those who had been saved and various others in the surrounding area wanted to become associated with that station and give of their time, money and energy for the support of its work. New boats were bought and new crews were trained. With commitment and energy, the little lifeboat station grew. Now, some members of the lifeboat station were unhappy that the building was so crude and poorly equipped. So they felt that a more comfortable place would be provided as the first refuge of those saved from the sea. So they replaced the emergency hammocks with beds and put better furniture in the enlarged building. Now, the lifeboat station became a very popular gathering place for its members, and they decorated and furnished it beautifully and started using it as a sort of club. Fewer members were now interested in going out on lifeboat missions, and so they hired lifeboat crews to do this work for them. Life-saving pictures and mementos decorated the club's walls where official meetings were held. About this time, a large ship was wrecked off the coast, and the hired crews brought in boatloads of cold, wet, and half-drowned people. They were dirty, they were sick, with different personalities and temperaments, and from other cultural backgrounds. The beautiful new club was in chaos. So the committee immediately had a shower house built outside the club where the shipwreck victims could be cleaned up before coming inside. At the next meeting, the club membership was divided. Most of the members wanted to stop the club's life-saving activities since they were, well, unpleasant and a hindrance to the normal social life of the club. But some members insisted that life-saving was their primary purpose and pointed out that they were still called a lifeboat station. However, they were finally outvoted and told that if they wanted to save the lives of all types of people who might be shipwrecked, they could begin their own lifeboat station somewhere else further down the coast. That they did. As the years went by, similar changes took place in the new station as well. It also evolved into a club, and consequently, another lifeboat station was founded elsewhere. History continued to repeat itself, and on the sea coast today, you will find a number of exclusive clubs along the coastline. Shipwrecks are still frequent in those waters, but most of the people are never reached and saved. Great story. I heard it about a week ago. It's a rather good story, and it rather makes the point, I think, without me having to get into the specifics of it. There is always a tension. There is always a tension. But we mustn't forget our primary purpose. You know, we're part of the Vineyard movement. 2,500 churches globally, about 135 in the UK. And we are a missional movement. We are a movement on a mission to save the lost. And this church, when it was founded over 35 years ago, was founded on that mission of saving the lost. But you see, the danger exists. We can hear this story and we kind of chuckle to ourselves and say, those silly people, are we much different? Do we not feel that same tension? I do, honestly, to be fair. Let's read our mission statement. Would you like to read our mission statement? You'll find it in the Bible. It's in Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Let's read it together. This is our mission statement. This is why we are a church. Let's read it. It's going to be on the screen if you're in the room. If you're online, it'll be on your device. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. It's very simple, but we make it oh so complex. That is our mission. That is why we exist, because there are people out there getting lost. And we are called to save the lost, introduce them to Jesus. You know, last year I outlined our vision as a church for the next 10 years called Reach. And Reach is about extending our reach to reach the lost. It's about recognizing that we are a lifeboat station. We're not an exclusive social club, though we love having fellowship. And at the time, I said this, it's time to reach further than we've ever reached before, to spend ourselves on giving all of ourselves for Him. And as a church family, we have always responded to the call of the Lord to expand our boundaries, expand them, in order to make Christ known and reach the lost. That has always been the mission of this church. And one of those verses, if you like, that we frequently visit is found in Isaiah 54, verse 2, that says this, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. That has been the call on us as a people since the inception of this church, and we will continue to extend our tent pegs. Why? So that we can be that lifeboat station for those that are lost and are shipwrecked. That is always our focus. That is always our mission. Before COVID, feels like an age away now, doesn't it? Like a different lifetime. The Lord gave me a picture, which I shared with you when we launched Reach. And I was in my garden when I had this picture. And in my garden, we have a lovely garden. It's well manicured. But outside of that, outside of our fences are fields, not manicured, left to do what the fields do. And I just had this sense that it would be very easy for me, and it indeed is, just to enjoy my garden, because we got badminton net in there, people get these badminton nets, other things. It's lovely. I don't want to leave my garden, especially when the sun comes out. But I felt the Lord saying, Mark, you've got to look beyond into those open spaces, those fields that have yet to be harvested. And He said, that is the danger, Mark, of church. You see, the danger of church, and it links with this story, is that you manicure your church to such a point you don't want to leave it. That it looks so lovely. And don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting that there shouldn't be a lovely environment where we can, have a spirit of excellence in this place. We want to bless people with great coffee. And, we want an environment where people come in and go, wow, this is different. This is not what I thought church was like. Those are all good things, but that's not the main thing. Because if you make it the main thing, you're not going to want to leave this place. You're not going to want to get it dirty. You're not going to get messy people in that are not like you. But you see, the Lord reminded me in that picture, say, listen, Mark, I'm calling you and the church to do it again and to extend your reach beyond the manicured lawn, beyond the comfortable place that you find yourself in, and go into the harvest, because the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. And you see, when I launched Reach, that is what I said, that over the next 10 years, we are going to spend all of ourselves so that we can extend our reach to reach the lost, because that is our mission. So how are we going to extend our reach? And I'm recapping from last year. How are we going to extend our reach to reach the lost? We're going to be creating spaces, you can say it with me if you want, and places for people to encounter Jesus. You see, that's how we extend our reach, by creating spaces and places for people to encounter Jesus. Let's work backwards on that. You see, it's all about Jesus. It's all about encountering Jesus. You know, you read the Bible. The woman with the issue of blood encountered Jesus and she was healed. Nathanael was under the fig tree and Jesus called him out by name. And he encountered Jesus and his life was changed. The woman at the well. Zacchaeus in the tree. The disciples. And we heard a couple of weeks ago in our wonderful baptism service on Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday, those life-changing testimonies of people's lives who have been changed by encountering Jesus. I love Antonio's testimony. He's over there. He was, I think you said you were painting outside your house, and all of a sudden you had this encounter with Jesus, and your life has changed since. What an amazing testimony. But that is the reality of what happens when you encounter the living Christ. That is what happens when you encounter Jesus himself. And we've been singing earlier, haven't we, about fixing our eyes on Jesus. Can you imagine if we just sing about fixing our eyes on Jesus and encountering our Jesus here, and then we leave the building, we're like, well, I'm done, I'm sorted. Doesn't matter that my neighbors don't know. It doesn't matter that there's people out there being shipwrecked, because at least I had a fantastic Sunday and wasn't the worship great? I mean, these are the real dangers and the tensions that we feel. But you see, we are called to create spaces and places where people can encounter Jesus. You know, in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, not a way, the way. Not always lead to God. That's a lie of the enemy. Jesus is the way and he is the life. He's not just some good person, some prophet, some good teacher. He is the very living God incarnate that died on the cross for each one of us. And so therefore, it's by him that we receive eternal life. I am, Jesus says, the way, the truth, and the life. You know, no amount of good works can do it. You know, Christianity is not a religion of good works. It's a religion of grace. It's a religion where Jesus has done it all for us. I mean, that's the only religion you'll find that doesn't say to you, if you perform better, you can attain some kind of relationship to God, quotes. Jesus has done it all for us. And so our role here at a church, as church, is to create spaces where we introduce people to Jesus. And by the Holy Spirit, he opens people's eyes to that risen Lord. But we need to create those spaces and those places to do it. So let's just dive into spaces and places. And, you know, we thank God for the amazing facilities that we have here, but we have to be good stewards of his facilities. And when we have the call to extend our tent pegs, we have to ask the question, what more, Lord, can we do to create spaces for people that our current space doesn't reach? And so last year, I outlined some initiatives, some plans for 22 that we were going to do. And I wanted to give you a brief recap on some of those. Last year, we set a target to create a brand new youth facility, a youth auditorium, with the studio space, breakout rooms, allowing larger numbers of youth, not just on a Sunday, but throughout the week, to encounter Jesus. And we did it. We created that space. You created that space in your sacrificial giving and your time and your energy. And we're going to hear next week an update on those spaces. But hundreds of youth encountering Jesus on a Sunday and throughout the week. One of the other spaces we looked to create was having an intentional relationship with STEP and 267 organizations, youth organizations, to open up our building during the week so that youth would encounter Jesus. And we've done that. And we're doing more besides. STEP run retreats here for schools in our building. They use the facilities that you have worked so hard for. We work with 267 and about 45 other youth leaders throughout the area to host church-wide events where people, youth, bring their friends from their school into this place, the Illuminate Cafe that Charlotte and others run on a Thursday night, and many other initiatives. We are creating spaces where youth have encountered Jesus. We also look to build a brand new space for our Ventureland kids, our 6 to 5 to 10 year olds. created a larger space for more children to encounter Jesus. Since last February, we have had a 75% increase in the amount of kids of that age group because of that space. We set our sights on creating a special educational needs space and ministry called Treasure Chest that we could invest in these special needs children. And about 2 weeks ago, the last of all of the equipment was installed. It is phenomenal. Feel free to go and have a peek. We would have some photos next week as we have an update on that. But that's because we decided to spend ourselves and all of ourselves for him and to save the lost. What else did we look at? We wanted to create a brand new, we wanted to invest in new spaces outside of this building. We've invested heavily in our online space, invested not just money in equipment, but many of you serve in that team, and we're creating some fantastic content for that. Why is this important? Many people that are new in this place have found us because of online. I speak to many of you. I would say anecdotally, maybe 80% of people that visit us and become part of this church have found us online. But more than that, there are people out there who cannot find a local church for whatever reason that at the moment are being blessed by the content that we're producing. And many are meeting Jesus through that online space. Just to give you some interesting stats, YouTube subscribers a year ago, before we reached 22, we had about 300 subscribers. We're almost at 1,000 subscribers. And in the last 28 days, we have had 6,000 views of our content on YouTube alone, when a year ago, that was hardly any. Instagram, our reach has increased in 1 year by 3,000%. Facebook, our reach has increased almost 70%. And we are creating a brand new space online where people can encounter Jesus. And Tiago, who is our creative content producer, does a fantastic job heading up that team and working on new and new content. And we've got an exciting plan as we head into this year in terms of new content. We've launched new devotionals this year. We've launched worship moments. We've got many more plans. We've also created brand new spaces within this building, such as the Rise Prophetic Company, an amazing space for women within Rise to encounter Jesus. We launched the Rise in the Word last week. We've experimented with different creative worship spaces, worship nights, and also the worship garden, which was amazing, that was led by Chantel. And, you know, we're going to be having three of those this year as well, which is really exciting. We've also been experimenting with a monthly worship and prayer night. And I can tell you now that the first Tuesday of every month, we've got a new space called Space. It's just simply called Space. Clever, eh? Where we encounter Jesus through prayer and through worship. That's going to be in the youth auditorium. It will start, when's the first Tuesday of next month? I think not this Tuesday, the Tuesday afterwards. So come along, join Eduardo and I and the team as we create that space for people to encounter Jesus. That's going to be really exciting. And so we've rejigged our prayer meetings around slightly. Space is going to be our monthly time where we come corporately together. And Breakthrough Online will continue those Tuesday nights in between that's led by Trevor Meyer and the team, where it's an intercessory focus. What do I mean by that? I mean simply that we stand in the gap for other people. We pray for our church. We pray for our country and other areas that the Lord lays on our heart. That's our intercessory prayer space that we've created. That's a lot, right? In a year. Wow. Thank you, Lord. And next week, we're going to have a Creating Spaces focus, because I tell you something, we've got some really exciting plans for the rest of this year. We'll reach 23 as we create brand new spaces, as we extend our facility here, and as we create some new exciting service formats, as we extend our reach to those who currently don't connect with us in particular ways. Don't miss next week. Creating places. Let me just give a recap on this. It's not just about creating spaces within these four walls. It's about saying, how do we create physical spaces outside of this building? And that's why last year we announced our Hatfield site. And as I mentioned earlier, we launched Hatfield. Such an amazing team that are led by AJ and Jenna. And really excited about what the Lord is doing there. They ran Alpha during summer. They've had social events. We're now on our second Sunday. And God is really moving in Hatfield and through that team. Really excited. But I did tell you last year that I believe the Lord gave me a word 5 in 5 years. And so this year we're going to launch another site. And so in 2 weeks' time, when we look at Creating Places, do not miss it, because we're going to be announcing what the new site is going to be this year, which is, and it's really exciting. And so do come along to that. So REACH is a 10-year plan, and God is breathing on this. We're not just coming up with things to say, okay, let's try this. We seek the Lord, and God says, right, go focus on this. Why? Because we are saying, Lord, how do we fulfill that mission that you've given us of being a lifeboat station? How do we break that desire? How do we break that temptation just to get comfy? We break it by giving all of ourselves for those that have yet to encounter Jesus. And how do we do that? I want to just recap on our values. You see, while our vision will evolve over time, and this is the vision that we've laid out for the next 10 years, what doesn't change is the way in which we do it, the values, what is important to us as a people. And I shared these in more detail last year, but I just want to recap it for all of us. I'm town counting this. We've got 4 of these. Let me just, they're going to be on the screen and you can look at them. As a people, our kingdom mindset and understanding of the here and not yet. That we are here to extend God's kingdom in work and deed through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is that value of our kingdom mindset that informs our need to extend his kingdom here, right? Because we recognize the reality of his kingdom breaking in and that we have a part to play in that. As a people, our awareness of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't do this just in our natural strength, because quite frankly, this audacious 10-year plan called REACH, if it wasn't for God, would fall flat on our face. You know, when God outlined this and said, this is what we're going to do as a church, and it wasn't just myself, as we talked with leaders and team, I'll be honest with you, I was a bit like, really? That's quite scary. That's a lot of stuff to do. And God's like, well, that's the whole point, Mark. That's the whole point. Because I have promised that I will equip you. And if we don't extend ourselves to the degree that we need God, then quite frankly, we might as well all go home. We're not called to do this on our own. I mean, what did Jesus say to the disciples? He said, wait for you here, wait here, because the Father's promise is going to send the Holy Spirit to enable you to go out from this place. You see, our value of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit informs how we extend our reach. As a people, number 3, our understanding that everyone gets to play. That the business of making Christ known is for everyone, not just the guy or gal on the stage. Everyone gets to play. Everyone has a part to play. Everyone, and I loved how Seb was talking about volunteering earlier, because everyone has been given a gift of grace, as it says in 1 Peter. Everyone has been given gifts of grace to introduce people to Jesus. And if you're here, you're here for a reason. You're here for a reason because God has a plan and purpose for you to create spaces and places where people can encounter Jesus. And last one. No, we've got 2 more. As a people, our commitment to extending the justice and compassion of Jesus. It fuels our desire to reach those who are unloved, forgotten, and marginalized by society. That we are called to stand up for those that cannot do so for themselves. That is our value of his justice. And lastly, as a people, our priority to worship. This draws us close to him in intimacy. In that place and that center of giving ourselves to him as a living sacrifice, of abiding in the vine, that we bear fruit. You know, the good works that we're talking about here are not manufactured. These good works come from abiding in the vine with Christ. They are fruit that comes from a relationship with him. And so these are the values that do not change. These are the values by which directs us on how we extend our reach to reach the lost and the way in which we create spaces and places for people to encounter Jesus. I'd like to invite the band up. I recognize this has been a very different type of talk. This hasn't been me expounding the word as we did through our normal sermon series. But we're going to be, over the next few weeks, looking at Reach 23 and the plans that the Lord has laid before us to create spaces and places for people to encounter Jesus, and to challenge ourselves and ask ourselves the question, what part in it do I have? What part can I play in this great endeavor? Let me just end by asking this question and then answering it for us. Why now? Why again? Well, I hope you've got the sense of that. But here's some specifics. Number one, God has not finished with us yet as a church. The call upon this church to make Christ known still stands. Isabel Allen, who operates in the office of prophet, many of you were here in 2019 when she gave the church a word. She says this: there are many shepherds in this church that need to be released with authority, as well as a way to be opened up for them. It is a time to position people in the posts they need to be in and to open those multiple gates. There are many racehorses in this church ready to run. Open the gates for the racehorses of this house. Release them to their races, for they need to run. And that is what about creating spaces and places is about. It's about recognizing that everyone gets to play, and we want you to run the race that God has marked out for you. We want this to be a place where you can be equipped to walk and run in the gifts that God has given you. These amazing initiatives that I just very quickly looked at from 22 happened because of you, happened because of people sacrificing their time, their energy, and their money and running as racehorses. My job here, Steph's job here, the leadership team's job here, the trustees' job here, the staff team is to open those gates for you and to equip you to run that race. Number two, we have been good stewards of what God has given us thus far, so he has given us more. It's a kingdom principle that he will give you X amount, you're faithful, he'll give you more, he'll give you more, he'll give you more. We shouldn't be surprised at the more God has given us. But with that comes the requirement to be good stewards. It'll be easy just to sit in comfort and say, look what we have, but that's not what it's all about. Number three, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Listen, guys, there's a lost out there, and number four, time is sure, because Jesus is coming again. And when he comes again, that's it, quite frankly. He will judge every man and woman in every nation. We are dealing with souls. You know, we often say Jesus saves. We never say saves from what, do we? We say to our friends, Jesus saves. Great. What, from a life of boredom? Does he save me so I can have my best life yet? No, he's saving you from hell. Well, you can't talk about that, really? Well, then what's the point of Jesus dying on the cross? Then what's the point? We might as well go home. He saved us for a reason. He saved us in order that we can have eternal relationship with a Father who loves us. He saved us in order that his righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus, can be given unto us. And so when God looks at us, he looks at us as holy. God is saving us from that. And so he loved us so much that he sent his only son to die for us. And yet we've got a world out there being shipwrecked. And have we got the courage and boldness to say, Jesus is here to save? That is a challenge for each one of us. I'm going to pray and then we're going to worship.